Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Headline from the Washington Post says, Jaw from Mysterious Human Species shows early embrace of high life. It's an interesting story about a bone fragment discovered four decades ago by I believe a Tibetan monk, if I'm not mistaken, but not really examined in any detail until almost 10 years ago. What are archaeologists claiming about this bone fragment, allegedly from a forerunner of modern humans? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be talking about this discovery of this fossil. Dr. Gabriella Haynes joins us. She's researcher, writer, and speaker for Answers in Genesis. She has a PhD in paleontology and geology from Federal University of Serai State in Brazil in conjunction with the University of Kentucky. Dr. Haynes, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thank you for the invitation.
What are archaeologists claiming about this human bone fragment?
Well, they're saying that this mandible that was found by a monk four decades ago has amino acid that it's from a Denisovan, which is a kind of a fossil group for human. But they understand that it's kind of a hominid. It's a human, but a less human, not developed enough. So that's what they're claiming, that it's just a different kind of a human there. And what they think is the human, the Denisovan, they were in a high altitude, and that means that kind of group, it was had some adaptation, had some information in their DNA that made them live there with no problem. And before this study, they assumed that the tallest mountains were the domain only of Homo sapiens, not actually the Denisovan group.
This classification, Denisovan, it's called by the Washington Post, at least in the headline, a human species. Is that an accurate way of describing what that classification is, a different species of human?
One of the things that happened in the evolutionist perspective is if a group of people or a group of different animals, organisms, they live in different areas and they are separate by some years, some thousands of years, they name a new species. So in the case of Denisovans, that's what they think. They think it's a new species because they believe that Denisovans, they come from Asia. For example, in Neanderthal comes from Europe, and Homo sapiens, which they call the modern humans, they come from Africa. So because they come from different places and because they are separate by thousands of years, some of them, they name them different species. But what the Bible tells us is that there's only one species of human, which is us, that we came from Adam and Eve.
So their interpretation is that there's enough differences between these fossils that they've found to distinguish between different species of human being. You're saying that there's but one species at work here. What I'm curious about is, how do they account for the fact that at least they believe at some point Neanderthals, Denisovans, may have been interbreeding or even with Homo sapiens? How do they account for that, given the fact that they've classified them as separate species?
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to understand that this is historian science, because nobody was there to actually observe what happened. So what we have today, it's only the fossils. And the interpretation that they interbreed, that they lived in different areas, all of that, and they're very different species, it's an interpretation that the archaeologists, they have, and some of the paleontologists too. So what we have today is the fossil. And for example, for the Denisovans, the whole water collection, they only have several teeth, a little bit of a skull, and splinters of bone. They don't have a lot of stuff. And even in the Washington Post, they say that everything that they have for Denisovans can be in a bowl of cereal. So that means that it's not a lot. So if you don't have a lot of samples to study all of those different species, your interpretation is going to be a little bit more hard to make. But even though they keep saying that they have enough material to actually say that they are very different human groups, but when you go actually to check the scientific paper, when they're doing the measuring and comparing all of the material that they found in these Tibet jaw and the others, fossils, hominids groups that in the evolutionist perspective there are, what they found with this Denisovan, it's in the average of all of the other groups. So they're not very different, actually. They are in this, they have the same numbers, the same size, the same shape. It's in the average of the data. So the point is, in the archaeology and paleontology fields, it's very interesting for them to actually come up with new species, actually come up with new information. But actually, the scientific paper is pointing out to not actually different species at all. First, because they don't have enough material. And the only thing that they found, it was using one single amino acid. So they use this only one single amino acid. And because of that, they are assuming that it's a different species of human.
So they're working, in other words, in both the terms of the fossils and in terms of, or we should call these bones rather than fossils, because I don't believe that they're necessarily completely fossilized if they're getting DNA out of them. And the DNA that they're able to extract from these bones, they're dealing with a minuscule amount of material and extrapolating, or maybe we should just say speculating about how different this human being actually was from Homo sapiens.
Yeah. Because the point is, they only found half of a mandible. And actually, it's not enough material. It's not enough material for you to study. And even though, okay, let's assume that it's enough material to be studied, what they got from that, it was only one single amino acid that is different. And from that one, because it's different from modern humans, they're already saying that it's a new species. So we know that the DNA has tons of information. So you only get one amino acid. And from that one single amino acid, you assume that it's different from modern humans. It's not a good method to do science, especially the Denisovan, that they don't have a lot of material, they don't have a lot of fossilized material to study and to compare. So it's very hard to actually agree with this interpretation. And then as Christian, we understand that just that information of them living in high altitude is just a created genetic diversity that got put in Adam and Eve that allowed humans to live in higher places, like higher altitudes. So it's nothing spectacular about that. First, the method that they used to conclude that has some problems. As I said, they only got a single amino acid. And the second information, they don't have enough material to study and to compare with the Denisovan.
Then when these things get reported in the popular press, the reporters are not necessarily reading the actual scientific papers, the research itself, in order to write their stories. They're talking to the researchers, they're summarizing in layman's terms. And then the statements become very, in many ways, misleading. I mean, they start drawing conclusions and making statements that are not supported by any evidence that they have on hand.
Right. That's why we all need to be very careful with everything that we read and the interpretation and the worldview that it's behind that research too. And the right thing always to do is trying to find the worldview behind and also try actually to read the scientific paper and see what's going on. Because, for example, I have here the supplementary data of these papers. It has 18 pages. And when you check the numbers, the size of the comparison that they have, it's the average. It's like every other fossil group of hominids that they, how they call, the evolutionists call them, these mandible, and not even the mandible, but also the teeth, they have the same kind of information. They have the same size. They have not the same size, but the same average size, which is normal. You're going to find that information in the group. So that does not mean that it's a different species, but because they have the mindset, they have the worldview, that normally when you find groups of human, for example, or organism, plants or insects, vertebrates, etc., from different places, and that they're separate by some thousand of years in their perspective, not in the creation perspective, but in their perspective, what they say, it has to be a different species. So that's the worldview that they have, and that's the worldview behind this study.
You actually used to believe the evolutionary worldview. What changed your mind?
What changed my mind was to actually read and study and see the worldview, because the data is the same. What is different is because the way that we see things is just like glasses. If I put a red glasses, I'm going to see things in a shade of red. If I put a blue glasses, I'm going to see things in the shade of blue. When you read the Bible and you have the lenses clear, you're going to see things clear. So that was the right difference. Because when you start reading the papers, when you start checking the interpretations behind all those data, you start seeing that things are not what they say they are. So, for example, the Washington Post article is just showing and it kind of, let's say, proving that it's actually a different human species. But when you actually go to see the paper, the scientist paper, and you read it, you cannot agree with that. So we have to be more critical of what we read. We have to be more discerning on the worldview behind those studies and be more aware of all of those things that happen behind the scene.
I'm intrigued by the ability for them to extract even the remnants of DNA from these bone fragments, given the ages that they claim for these things. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the claimed ages for the samples from which they were able to extract, in this case, as you said, a single amino acid?
Well, that's a big proof that the radiometric dating doesn't actually work, because using the radiometric dating that they used, they dated it 160,000 years old. So we do know that that's too old. It's impossible to find DNA or amino acid in that age. It's impossible because we have a lot of things happening, not only in the fossil, but also in the rock around the fossil that will destroy that information. So that's the first point. The second point is that even that knowing that it's too old and that it's impossible, they are still trying to extract DNA, which in this case, they didn't get a lot of information about it. But anyway, they tried to work on that. But that's the point. It's just another proof that those fossils, they are not that age. They're not that old. And unfortunately, they do not admit that.
Do they offer any explanation for how DNA material, or even the remnants of it, is supposed to survive that amount of time under those conditions?
Well, what they say, not in this case of the scientific material, but in general, what they say, it's the preservation was amazing. It was spectacular. So it kept the material there, which is interesting. Yeah, that can happen if the preservation is spectacular. If it's an amazing preservation, it can preserve a lot of things, and that's what we can see. But even 160,000 years old, even if the preservation is the best one, there are a lot of things happening, not only in the fossil, but in the rock, the minerals, because of the temperature, because of the pressure of the rock, the minerals in the fossil and also around the rocks, they're going to change a lot of that information, going to destroy that. So that's also another proof. If they can find details like that and that kind of information, that these fossils, they're not that old. They're actually their result, we have creationists, in the biblical perspective, result of the flood, not 160,000 years old. But in this case, because it's human, this is Tower of Babel. But I'm talking about another types of fossils, for example. We can find a lot of other material, for example, mussels in other organisms. I'm not talking about humans. For example, I have a wasp that I study during my PhD, and in the belly of these wasps, we can find blood cells, and they're not mineral. They are organic. They're actually blood cells. So that means that it was not for a long time ago that they were fossilized. It was during the flood. But in this case of this paper talking about humans, this is a result of the Tower of Babel that the Bible says in Genesis 11 that happened. And around 2,000 years before Christ. So that's why you can still find some material there, and it's not outdated, 160,000 years old. Also, another point that I need to say is the hadrometric dating has a lot of assumptions, because nobody was there to check the information when this material became fossilized. So it could not be observed, and this is not scientific method. Because a scientific method, you need to observe and you need to test. So the radiometric dating has a lot of assumptions, and that's why it's another problem for these scientific paper too.
Dr. Gabriella Haynes is a researcher, writer, and speaker for Answers in Genesis. She has a PhD in paleontology and geology from the Federal University of Ceará State in Brazil in conjunction with the University of Kentucky. You'll find a link to Answers in Genesis under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Haynes, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
We'll be talking about how national Democratic leaders are out of step with the Democratic voters on the issue of abortion, why Democratic leaders are pushing the edge of the envelope on abortion while the voters are backing off. Marjorie Dannenfelser will be our guest.
Come, Holy Spirit, Lord and Comforter, with words of truth our feeble faith assure. These words open Mark Preuss's new Pentecost hymn for the Lutheran Church, available exclusively in the Lutheran Witness. Grab the May issue of the Missouri Synod's flagship magazine and dig into what the Bible and Lutheran theology have to say about the Holy Spirit, who He is, how He works, and what He wants for your life. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Contending for Truth in an Age of Anti-Truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Are you a high school guy or girl interested in theology and thinking about becoming a pastor or deaconess? Christ Academy High School at Concordia Theological Seminary is the thing for you. Spend 2 weeks worshiping and learning like a seminary student while having fun and building lasting friendships. Join us this summer at Christ Academy from June 16th to the 29th. Visit ctsfw.edu/ca for more info.